the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, the 4th of April, 2024. I am the G-Man.
Hey, G-Man.
Yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This one here is a definition. I love this. Lawyer, noun, larval stage of a politician. Yeah. How about definition of a politician? Also a noun, blood-sucking parasite.
A man who can't be bribed can't be trusted.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of the big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Okay, sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? All right. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1933... the U.S. Navy airship USS Akron. Oh, what a beautiful ship that was. But it was wrecked off the New Jersey coast due to severe weather. See, those airships were so impressive, except in bad weather. Then things turned real ugly real quick. And it was on this day in 1975, Microsoft was founded as a partnership between Bill Gates and Paul Allen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the rest, as they say, is history. And a somewhat checkered history at that.
I'm the devil.
I am continually amazed at how much power, how much influence the Envir-Nazis have these days. Here again, it's a case of the squeaky wheel, and they're squeakier than you or I are. And it's taking on some strange proportions in that Shell, Royal Dutch Shell, just announced they're going to divest themselves of over 1,000 gas stations. 1,000 gas stations in the interest of installing EV recharging stations. So I'm thinking, how did the Envir-Nazis end up getting so much power? By screaming louder than we do. That's how they do that. They splash red paint or tomato soup on classic paintings in museums. They scream constantly about global warming or climate change, neither of which has been proven, okay? There's still no solid evidence to either of the two, global warming or climate change. In fact, you don't hear the term global warming so much anymore because that's pretty much been proven not to be the case. In fact, there seems to be some evidence that the globe is cooling. Then again, we still don't know. So they changed the term to climate change. Well, what's the climate changing to? Nobody knows. But you see, in an instance like the lefties, the Envir-Nazis, they don't have to know. All they have to do is throw out boatloads of misinformation, boatloads of theory, and make it sound like it's fact, when in fact, it's not fact. So now, Royal Dutch Shell is caving to pressure from Envir-Nazis. And once again, I have to ask the question, who gave these people so much power? Who gave the Envir-Nazis so much influential power? We didn't vote for it. We didn't ask for it. They just got out onto the streets, busted into auditoriums where speeches were being given, and started acting like thugs. That's what I would call a thugocracy. I mean, when you have a thugocracy going, what do? You build fear into the hearts of the people who oppose you. Now, this has to be fought because you and I will not be able to afford to live in an economy that's built by these Envir-Nazis. It just isn't going to happen. You won't be able to afford food. You won't be able to afford fuel. You certainly won't be able to afford transportation because these electric vehicles are so expensive. Have you looked into how much it costs to replace a battery in an EV? Never mind replacing the whole vehicle. Just try to replace the battery. Price it. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. It ain't cheap. So this world that the Environazis want you and me to live in isn't livable. We can't afford it. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to fight these bastards or not? Are we going to let them just run over us as though we don't exist? They're not the ones working. They have all this free time on their hands because they're on the dole. They're on the government dole. We're the ones working, and yet they're the ones who are driving the price of everything that you and I need on a daily basis up to unaffordable proportions. And this is going to continue until you and I get smart and finally face these bastards down. The air is much cleaner today, as I mentioned the other day on one of these blogcasts. The air is much cleaner today. The water is much cleaner today than it was 50 years ago. Take it from me. I was around 50 years ago. I saw this stuff. I saw it happening. But just how clean do you expect us to get everything? And for once, somebody prove to me that climate is changing. Because there are no facts, there are no figures, there are no charts. Certainly no truthful ones. Climate is not changing. And these Environazis are running over us like we don't exist. How long are we expected to live with this? Kevin Stocklin, writing in the Epoch Times, says the upcoming election is going to be less about changing voters' minds and more about rousing the faithful and getting them to the polls. Now, America's students, who, according to an analysis by Tufts University, helped elect Biden in key swing states in 2020, could prove to be pivotal in this regard, both as targets and as foot soldiers in the party's get-out-the-vote drives. And this has always been the case. You remember Rock the Vote on MTV? Well, that wasn't really Rock the Vote. It was Rock the Vote Obama. It was a Democrat-run campaign, and it was well-run. It put Obama into the White House. And it actually triggered the beginning of the destruction of this country. Meanwhile, a lawsuit currently moving through Wisconsin courts appears to be providing a case study for how these campaigns translate into election wins for the Democrat Party. In February, Vice President Kamala Harris highlighted that the government's paying college students to register voters. The government. Wow. She said, we've been doing work to promote voter participation for students. And for example, we now allow students to get paid through federal work study to register people and be nonpartisan poll workers. Really? Nonpartisan? Anyhow, Ms. Harris said the Biden administration's been able to charge federal agencies with doing the work that they rightly can do to inform the American people of their right to vote. But what do you want to bet it's more their right to vote Democrat? Huh? Paying students to canvass is the latest component of an initiative originated under Barack Obama to increase student voting. Now, initially, this was carried out in conjunction with private nonprofit organizations like Civic Nation. Founded with the support of President Obama, his wife, and Joe Biden in 2015 and led by former Obama staffers, Civic Nation now boasts a partnership with 1,700 colleges and universities and a reported budget of more than $16 million in 2020. Now, its stated goal is fighting for gender equity, social justice, and more. And it leads the All-In Campus Democracy Challenge that engages with university administrators to get them to sign up student voters. Now, there's nothing illegal about this. Unethical? Yeah, probably. but nothing illegal about it. And here again, once you hear the word equity, social justice, the words equity and social justice are pure leftist terms. And you really should recoil upon hearing those. So, All In, the group All In, runs school get out the vote competitions in all 50 states. And according to its website, they've partnered with 994 institutions and signed up more than 10 million students. No small numbers. As part of the challenge, schools agree to share student voting data. Now, Civic Nation receives much of its funding from a network of progressive charitable funds managed by Arabella Advisors, which oversees a network of nonprofit vehicles that finance left-wing political campaigns. So under the Biden administration, the Student Get Out the Vote campaign is now being run with federal funds, spearheaded by the U.S. Department of Education. There's the unethical part. Now, Biden's Executive Order 14019 compels all government agencies to take part in a nationwide effort to register voters and includes a program by the Department of Education that pressures educational institutions to demonstrate that they've signed up students to vote. Following the issuance of Executive Order 14019, the DOE sent schools a Dear Colleague letter to remind institutions of higher education of the federal requirements regarding voting that are tied to participation in federal student aid programs. And yet, somehow, these programs manage to coerce or encourage students to vote Democrat. So you see, they're doing so much more on their side than we are to get the youth vote. I think the only thing that's going to get the Republican youth vote is the current economy, which is not good, and it's not getting better, and it won't get any better between now and November. Have you watched gas prices lately? Gone up 40 cents a gallon in the last week or so. Now, this letter, according to the DOE, also clarifies when federal work study dollars can be used for nonpartisan civic engagement work. So according to a 2022 report by Tufts University's Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, youth ages 18 through 29 are the only age group in which a strong majority supported Democrats. But you have to wonder, with the economy right now, is that still the case? Still a crapshoot when you look at it, though. Up until 2002, the youth vote was evenly split between the two parties, believe it or not. And that's according to the report. But since that time, young people have shifted sharply in favor of Democrats by what's now a 28-point margin. The Get Out the Vote campaigns don't target all young voters equally, however, and instead they focus their efforts on the most reliable Democrat voters, those who attend college. A 2020 survey by Pew Research found that the single largest voter gap in favor of Democrats was white, college-educated women, of whom 62% voted Democrat versus 34% who voted Republican. Conversely, non-college white men favored the Republican Party by a margin of 32 points, with 62% for Republicans and 30% for Democrats. The report states, Democrats increasingly dominate in party identification among white college graduates. Republicans increasingly dominate in party affiliation among white non-college voters. So you see the pattern. It runs wide and deep. And all I can say right now is thank God Ronna Romney McDaniel is gone as RNC chair, because she was doing absolutely nothing to garner new voters to our side of the political spectrum. Does this garbage ever end? Laura Merchan, the wife of the judge presiding over former President Trump's hush money case in Manhattan, once worked for New York Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the massive $350 million civil fraud case against Mr. Trump, with the revelation reviving claims of bias and calls for the judge's recusal. I mean, it's such an incestuous thing. But then again, you know, the legal business is like any other industry. Everybody knows everybody else in that industry. But records reviewed by the Epoch Times show that Ms. Merchan worked for 21 years as a special assistant to the AG in New York, including 3 years under Ms. James. She changed jobs over 2 years ago. Now, Ms. James is a Democrat who fixated on President Trump, as you well know, while she was campaigning for New York Attorney General, calling him a con man and vowing to shine a bright light into every dark corner of his real estate dealings. You know, it's just, first of all, Letitia James shouldn't even be serving as AG anymore. Just the same, she began investigating Trump soon after taking office, eventually suing him for allegedly misleading banks and others about the value of his assets. Now, she eventually won the case on February 16th with New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron ordering President Trump and Trump Organization executives to pay $350 million in damages and barring the former president from doing business in the state for 3 years. Not sure that any of that is really legal. And Judge Juan Merchan now is presiding over a separate criminal trial involving Trump in New York, in which Trump is accused of falsifying business records in order to conceal a $130 million hush money payoff to an adult performer to stay quiet about their alleged affair. Yes, it's all seamy stuff. But, you know, here again, if you're looking for moral equivalency, and I try not to because I don't like that concept, but if you're looking for moral equivalency, there's Hunter Biden and his dad, okay? Anyhow, President Trump on his Truth Social platform accused Judge Merchan of bias and corruption while labeling the case against him election interference and also demanding the judge's recusal. He's certainly got a case there, a case for recusal of the judge. Oh, yeah. So, Mr. Trump has also alleged that the judge's daughter, Lauren Merchan, has a partisan interest in the case because she leads a political marketing firm and has represented President Trump's political opponents, receiving millions from them. Now, Judge Merchan imposed a gag order against Trump in this particular case, and on April 1st, which was Monday, expanded it to include family members of the judge and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Well, the judge wrote in the order that President Trump's speech injects fear in those assigned or called to participate in the proceedings, that not only they, but their family members as well, as fair game for defendants' vitriol. Bit of a stretch, don't you think? Of course it is. And then there's our friend Laura Loomer, who's an independent journalist and popular conservative commentator, who on social media shared records that Judge Merchan's wife worked for Ms. James. And she wrote in a post on X that this fact represents another major conflict of interest. Now, various conservative accounts reacted to Ms. Loomer's post, arguing that the revelation adds to evidence that the judge should recuse himself from the case. Paul A. Shapula, a popular conservative commentator on X with over 140,000 followers, said in a post, "And this is why they expanded the gag order on Trump. It's even more obvious how biased Judge Merchan is. He has to recuse himself now. There's clearly at least an appearance of a conflict here that's enough in itself." And then another popular account with over 46,000 followers called The Doppelgangers argued in a post that everyone knows this is all connected, and they're all connected to the same sources to take down Trump, which is an excellent point. You and I know that, right? We've seen this for how long? So by contrast, Brian Krasenstein, a left-wing political commentator with a similar size following on X, pushed back on Ms. Loomer, saying that the fact Judge Merchan's wife once worked for Ms. James is not evidence of bias or conflict of interest, and I hate to admit it, he may have a point there. So he wrote in a post on X The New York State Attorney General's office employs more than 700 assistant attorneys general. It's not as if she was Letitia James' right-hand woman. Literally 40% of all of the staff working in the office of the AG in New York are special assistants. Loomer is trying to somehow say that since the judge in Trump's Manhattan case was or is married to a woman who once worked in an office with 700 other people under the AG who already won a civil suit against Trump, that Judge Merchan now has a conflict of interest? Well, Krasenstein has a point there, and he further suggested that Ms. Loomer, who's a vocal Trump supporter, may even have posted about the judge's wife at his direction, Trump's direction. So Krasenstein said, if so, that would likely be illegal now that a gag order's in place. But you see, Krasenstein has the burden of proof on his shoulders, not Laura Loomer's. And Laura Merchan wasn't immediately reachable for comment. Judge Merchan has already declined to recuse himself from the case. In the case, Mr. Bragg charged that President Trump, with 34 counts of falsifying business records, alleged a scheme to influence the 2016 election with payments meant to bury unfavorable news coverage of the alleged affair with the adult performer, which the former president has denied, and he will continue to deny. So the trial has been set for April 15th, and in less than 2 weeks, the first ever criminal trial of a former American president is going to take place in Manhattan. A circus, to be sure. Nick Pope over at the Daily Caller has called into question a study by a Cornell University climate scientist who gave climate activists and the media ammunition to wage a pressure campaign against the Biden administration to take action against liquefied natural gas, or LNG, exports. Now, Cornell's Robert Haworth authored the October 2023 study, which purported to find that life cycle emissions associated with LNG exports are far greater than those attributable to domestically mined coal, which, of course, is absurd. But just the same, numerous media outlets, including the New York Times, especially the New York Times, amplified the study, and climate activists lobbying the Biden administration to kill LNG exports cited it as evidence to substantiate their position before the White House announced the moratorium on LNG export terminal approvals on January 26th. Now, the study titled "The Greenhouse Gas Footprint of Liquefied Natural Gas Exported from the United States" found that greenhouse gas emissions from LNG are also larger than those from domestically produced coal, ranging from 44% to more than twofold greater for the average cruise distance of an LNG tanker. Now, Haworth, who openly opposes the use of fossil fuels, admitted releasing his study before it was peer-reviewed in order to influence the LNG export debate. So, Haworth told the Daily Caller, quote, "According to the ethical guidelines from several of the professional societies to which I belong, scientists have a duty to provide information to the public and to decision makers on important public issues when they have access to such information." Then Haworth said environmental activist Bill McKibben was one of those who convinced him to release the study before it underwent the months-long peer review process. Little dishonesty there, wouldn't you say? McKibben himself wrote about the study in The New Yorker, another left-wing publication, in October, touting it as evidence that the Biden administration should not expand LNG export capacity. Well, after McKibben published his piece for The New Yorker and Haworth released the study to the public, the duo joined a November 2023 press call alongside several climate activists and Democratic lawmakers. Yes, the very environ-Nazis that I keep talking about, including Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, to talk about the issue of LNG exports. Haworth said, "From what I'm told by reporters and what I read in the press, yes, my paper has had some impact. Well, do tell." Indeed, the Wall Street Journal reported Haworth's work influenced the Biden administration's decision to pause approvals for new LNG export hubs. Haworth's study clearly was a factor in the Biden administration's decision to pause making the required determinations required for approval of new LNG export projects and launching a U.S. Department of Energy study of the climate impact of LNG exports. That's according to Steve Hamburg, the Environmental Defense Fund's chief scientist. Now, the White House invariably felt pressure from left-wing lawmakers and environmental activists, you know, the squeaky wheels I keep talking about, who regularly cited the study in their push to choke off U.S. natural gas exports. I mean, when you really look at the overall picture of what's happening here, the people on the left are doing everything humanly possible to crash the U.S. economy. These people are out to destroy us as a nation, as a culture, and as an economy. Now, Merkley cited the Haworth study as the latest climate science. Oh, this is the latest in climate science. And this was in a November 2023 letter to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, who can't find her backside with both hands on a GPS. 64 other lawmakers signed that letter, which called on Granholm to update her agency's review process for LNG export facilities to include climate impacts. And then likewise, the Sierra Club promoted a story that cited the study and referred to one of the affected LNG export hubs as a carbon bomb. A disruptive outfit called Climate Defiance promoted the study on social media before meeting in December with senior advisor to the president, John Podesta, you remember him, to lobby against the planned expansion of LNG export capacity. There is a war on our lifestyle. A war against our country, against our Constitution, against our very economic system. And these are the people who are prosecuting that war. These people must be fought. Let's move on into the comedy corner with the oh-so-funny Henry Cho talking about his family.
Grant is 15. He plays soccer and Xbox. That's it. We got him a headset for Christmas. Dumbest thing ever done. He has not heard one word I've said since the holidays. Every day he's like, what? Somebody say something? What? Hey, what? Hey, what? Hey. What? That's all he does all day long. Now, my daughter vasectomy, she's 11, and she's wearing this, it's like a buffer. I didn't know they made them, but it's a buffer. I found this out by accident because I was doing laundry, and I was just helping, not because I'm Korean, all right? All right, anyway, so. We're all in the family room, and I'm doing laundry with my wife, and I pulled out this buffer, and I went, what is this? And my daughter's like, ah, and ran out of the room. And Grant's like, what? Somebody say something? What? All my kids are funny, my daughter. They all try to be funny, and it backfires all the time. Last year in school, in my daughter's class, they learned about Native Americans, and the teacher let the kids pick their own names. So she asked one boy, what's your name? Said, I'm Running Deer. Asked another boy, what's your name? Said, I'm Roaring Bear. Asked my daughter, said, what's your name? She said, I'm Chick-a-fil-A. So then we had a parent-teacher conference. True story. Teacher looked right at me and goes, what do you think about that? I said, I think that is hilarious. She goes, don't you have any concerns? I said, yes, ma'am. Did she time it right? We got home. My daughter's like, Dad, am I in trouble? I said, no, honey, that's hilarious. I said, as long as it didn't hurt anybody and it's funny, you always go for the joke. She said, do you do stuff like that growing up? I said, of course. She said, like what? So I remember in eighth grade, my history teacher was going on a 6 weeks maternity leave. We have a substitute for 6 weeks. First day she's there, we're in the homeroom. My buddy looks at me and goes, hey, you know, the sub starts today. I go, that's right. He goes, well, today, you're our new foreign exchange student. I said, yes, I am. I combed my hair straight down. A girl named Kelly Coleman made an AFS badge, and I stuck that on. And I kind of jogged in the room like an old Asian guy with change in his pockets. I know that's wrong, okay? I saw it on MASH.
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.